Hour of 1 o'clock having arrived. I'm going to call the March 3rd, 2022 meeting of the House Taxes Committee to order. Ms. Griska, please take the roll.
Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt present.
Representative Marquardt present. Representative Lissagard.
Representative Lissagard present.
Representative Lissagard present. Representative Davids.
Davids present.
Representative Davids present. Representative Agbaje.
Present.
Representative Agbaje present. Representative Carlson.
Carlson's here.
Representative Carlson's present. Representative Detmer.
Detmer present.
Representative Detmer present. Representative Garofalo. Representative Gomez. Representative Herr.
Present.
Representative Herr present. Representative Hertas.
It is in fair skin.
Representative Hertas present. Representative Howard.
Howard present.
Representative Howard present. Representative McDonald. Representative Miller.
Present.
Representative Miller present. Representative Moran is excused. Representative Mortensen.
Mortensen present.
Representative Mortensen present. Representative Robbins.
Present.
Representative Robbins present. Representative Sandell.
Present.
Representative Sandell present. Representative Schultz excused. Representative Stevenson.
Present.
Representative Stevenson present. Representative Swazinski.
Present.
Representative Swazinski present. Representative Joaquin. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Ms. Griska. And this meeting is operating under rules 10.01 for remote hearing and asking the public if they would like to look at any of the materials to go to the House of Representatives, go to committee and divisions, go to taxes committee, and on the lower right-hand side, you'll find all of the materials for this meeting. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to check in for attendance. I finished figuring out my microphone issues. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Garofalo in attendance. So thank you. So members, we have two bills. And the first bill we have today is House File 3307. It is Representative Nelson N's bill. Who would like to move House File 3307 to be laid over?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lessegard moves for House File 3307 to be laid over for possible inclusion into the House Tax Omnibus Bill. Representative Nelson, welcome to the Tax Committee. Good to have you here. And if you want to talk about House File 3307.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And House File 3307, it's a bill that would be modifying the sales tax to exempt fencing material to be included in the sales tax exemption. Something like this would fall under the, you'd fill out an ST3 form that, businesses or agriculture or others would have to have on file. And then they would be able to have exemption from fencing equipment. And one of the reasons that this came about is this past summer with the drought, there was more area that had to be, there were some like hay fields and crop stubble that was fenced that historically had not been. And so just as in an attempt to, give some aid for drought relief, roughly 7%, sales tax. And it would just be a little bit of reduced cost for those in agriculture that were, had to do some things different. And it does kind of fit under, just the other things that grain bins or other things like that are already exempt from sales tax. And so I just appreciate your support on it. And I do have some testifiers.
Very good. So before we go to testifiers, the revenue estimate for House File 3307 is in fiscal year 2023 2.73 million. In 24, 1.39 million, and in 25, 1.4 million. And so we'll go to testifiers. And
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
And one of the reasons why it's higher in fiscal year 2023 is we have this retroactive to for anything purchased after June 30th of 2021. And so it's really 2 years in one is the reason that this year is, you know, basically double of what fiscal year 24 and 25 are.
Yeah, thank you so much for explaining that, Representative Nelson. And I was going to ask you why you were doing that, but you did explain that in your introduction, and the fact that because of the drought, which, you know, was last summer and so forth, and continuing in some areas, certainly, that's the need. Is that correct? That's primarily the reason you're going retroactive, is to address the drought situation?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is the reason, is really to address the drought and you know, some of the fencing materials that was purchased then. I had really hoped that we could have had a special session last fall and introduced this legislation back then, but we're here today, and I think we would really appreciate being able to get this passed, and I would hope that it can be included in the final tax bill that we hear, but just providing some relief for drought.
So. Very good. Thank you so much. Just a note, Representative Gomez is here in attendance. And Mr. Clayman, if I might ask, so typically farm machinery is exempt from sales taxation. So what might be included in all of that, Mr. Clayman?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there are, there's an itemized list of what those exemptions are currently in statute, and it's actually in the bill right now too. So, but generally it's gotta be used directly in agricultural production. So that's one of the main limits on that. It includes, it's not limited to this, but it includes, machinery for seeding and cultivation, barn cleaners, milking systems, grain dryers, irrigation equipment, and so forth. So there are a number of items that already are included under that agricultural exemption under the sales tax.
So to me, Mr. Clayman, you would be able to use that for kind of equipment that's used in your agricultural production and operation. Would that be a fair statement?
Yep, that's correct. I think it's fair to say that the law is intended to provide a fairly broad exemption for equipment that's used in agricultural production. I think probably what's going on with the fencing material is that that's not deemed to be something that's actually necessarily used in production. So that could be what's going on with the fencing material currently not qualifying. So a specific exemption would make that clear.
Very good. Thank you very much. So with that, we're going to go to testifiers. I've got Amber Glazier, and then on deck, Hannah Bernhardt. So Amber Glazier, there you are. Welcome to the committee. It's not your first time to the committee. If you would please introduce yourself and begin with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Marquardt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Amber Glazier. I am Director of Public Policy for Minnesota Farm Bureau. It's good to be with you all again. We appreciate Representative Nelson bringing this bill forward and offers Farm Bureau strong support of this sales tax exemption. As Representative Nelson has already stated, that this plays an important role in relief that we are seeking for farmers all across the state in response to the drought we've been facing. Livestock in particular was hit very hard by the drought over the last summer, and those impacts continue. And one of the biggest things we're seeing is just access to feed for livestock producers. So the sales tax exemption for fencing will help provide some of that relief going back to last summer and moving ahead as some of the impacts from the drought linger into next year for sure. I think as we heard from committee staff that the sales tax exemption is currently used for directly for products used in ag production. And I would argue that fencing is a key part of ag production on the livestock side of things. So just appreciate Representative Nelson bringing this very simple common sense bill forward. It's timely with the drought relief piece specifically, and anything we can do to help some of those livestock farmers, you know, with some of these smaller bills is going to be helpful in the long run. This isn't going to impact, you know, all of agriculture every day, but for those farmers that this could really help them out in a tough year will be very appreciated. So thank you, Representative Nelson, and again, offer Farm Bureau support for this bill.
Thank you very much. And I ask all the testifiers to please stick around as I'll open it up to any questions that members might have. So also Representative Hertaus is now also in attendance. Hannah Bernhardt is next.
Thank you, Chair Markhart and members of the committee.
You're welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
For the record, my name is Hannah Bernhardt, and I'm here to share Minnesota Farmers Union's strong support for Representative Nelson's bill to add fencing materials to the list of agricultural equipment that's exempt from sales tax. Along with my husband, Jason, and my son, Harvey, I operate Medicine Creek Farm in Finlayson, Minnesota. We raise grass-fed beef and lamb and pastured pork. And briefly, I'd like to just share with you three ways this bill would make a difference for farmers like me. First, like many others, last summer's drought hit us hard. We had to start on hay earlier, which was an unexpected expense and also caused hay prices to increase for the winter. For many others across the state, the drought meant fencing more pasture, some of which wasn't even their own. And for example, we ran out of forage in August, and our neighbors were kind enough to let us graze adjacent kind of silvopasture, which required using additional temporary fencing. So the retroactive tax relief on fencing equipment is one way your committee could provide retroactive targeted drought relief to livestock producers like me. Second, and looking ahead, we can't really be confident that the drought cycle is over. 70% of the state remains abnormally dry, and ongoing relief will help more producers reinvest in their operations and make sure that they remain resilient going forward. And then third and finally, and independent of the drought, we work really hard to foster soil health and promote water quality through rotational grazing our livestock. And we're proud to be Ag Water Quality certified by the Department of Agriculture. And we are really glad that there are programs in the state to support people who want to graze livestock. But these practices take a lot more fencing and use temporary fencing supplies that wear out in several years and require maintenance and frequent replacements. So tax relief for fencing equipment will help more producers adopt soil health practices, which delivers important ecosystem benefits like decreased erosion and increased water holding capacity in the soil, which will make us more resilient to future droughts. So in closing, and in addition to the Minnesota Farmers Union, I want to share the support of the Minnesota State Cattlemen and Minnesota Milk. This bill will deliver drought relief to livestock producers this year and help create resilience long term. So thank you, Representative Nelson, for your work on this, and to you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for your consideration. And I'd be happy to stay for questions later.
Thank you very much for that testimony. Chair Davids.
Thank you, Chair Markhort. And as former chair of the Ag Committee and the Tax Committee, I just wish to give a piece of wisdom here that if you have Farm Bureau and the Farmers Union agree on something, you should probably just do it.
Very good. Thank you. But Chair Davids, I guess when I first came in 2001, you were the chair of the Commerce Committee, I believe, but I didn't ever remember you being chair of Agriculture. When was that?
Mr. Chairman, I came in after Jesse Ventura. Well, I came in 91, but after the 98 election, then I was 3 terms chair of the Commerce and Regulated Industries Committee. I got term limited out. That was the 8-year run of Speaker Swigum. And so then I became, I was chairman of the Agriculture Committee.
I did not realize. Thank you very much.
And all that means, Mr. Chairman, is I'm really old. That's all that means.
I won't comment on that. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just first of all, comment, you know, I don't know if I grew up on a dairy farm, and I don't know if my dad had this incentive back then, but when I went off to college, then he buys a barn cleaner, he buys a hay conveyor, and buys a silo unloader. So my question is, would this, then he also put electric fences up. So does this bill cover electric fences?
Representative Nelson.
My intention of the bill is to cover it, and I don't see anything that would be excluding electric fences. It's agricultural fencing equipment is what is named. Okay. It wouldn't, that's pretty delineated against a chain link fence that would be maybe around somebody's yard. But I think that's rather clear that it would fall under the agricultural fencing.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Chair. You.
Thank you. And Representative Clayman, any clarification on that? I mean, would you see where that would, the language would not include electric fences?
Mr. Chair, I think that Representative Nelson's comments are accurate. You know, as long as it's some type of agricultural fencing and fencing material, it should qualify for the exemption. So if it's used in agricultural production, it should qualify. If there's any ambiguity about that, you can always just specifically state that it includes electronic fencing. And if I could, Mr. Chair, one other quick clarifying remark from my earlier remarks was that currently the farm machinery exemption specifically excludes fencing material from the sales tax exemption for farm machinery. So that's another thing the bill does, is it actually strikes that specific exclusion.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much. And Representative Detmer, if your dad had bought all of those things before you left home, you wouldn't have had the stellar wrestling career that you did.
The reason why I brought up the electric fence was when I came home from college one day, I'd always run out to get the horse, and I'd always jump over the barbed wire fence. I didn't know there was an electric one on the other side.
Are there any further testifiers who are on here that would like to testify? I am not seeing any. So members, any questions of the testifiers? Or, well, we'll go testifiers right now. Any questions for the testifiers? All right, any comments or questions for the author of the bill, Representative Nelson? All right, Representative Nelson, any closing comments on House File 3307?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Thank you for hearing this bill today, and I would just encourage your support of it, and hopefully we can get it included in an omnibus bill.
Very good. Thank you. Representative Leslie Gard renews his motion to lay over House File 3307 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Representative Nelson, thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Yep, you bet. Members, in my haste to get to this 3307, I forgot to approve the minutes. Representative Leslie Gard, would you like to approve the March 2nd, 2022 minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
We have that motion. Members, any comments, thoughts, questions, criticisms? See none? You would temporarily unmute, I'm going to call for the vote on the minutes for March 2nd. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The March 2nd, 2022 minutes are approved. At this point, I'm going to pass over the virtual gavel to my vice chair, Representative Leslie Gardner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Next on the agenda, we have House File 3827. Chair Marquardt, would you like to move your bill to be laid over for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill?
I will move House File 3827, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Please present your bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. So, members, what I'm about to say, you may all find this very, very hard to believe. And that is that in times in the past when the state has faced a budget deficit, that the legislature and the governor has actually resorted to shifts and gimmicks to solve that budget. I can see the jaws dropping. Oh. I can hear it. I understand. And so it's been worked in, you know, we've done the school shift and a number of those shifts. And so last year, one of the big shifts was something called June accelerated sales tax. And that is where typically, and this was businesses who do over $250,000 of business a year. Normally, like for May, on their sales tax collections, they would remit that to the department in later June, the next month. Well, to bring in more revenues into the current budget year, years ago, they said, all right, for businesses now, for your June sales tax, instead of not having to remit until later July, we're going to ask you to remit an X percent of your estimated June sales taxes by, I think it's 2 days before June 30th. So that way, instead of those revenues coming in the next budget year, it would come in the existing year. And that percentage had moved back and forth, but for 2022, it was set at 84.5%. They had to remit 84.5% of their estimated June sales tax. So last year, we had in our bill that, and we all worked on that here in the tax committee and got into law, is to add June accelerated taxes and to eliminate that. And the way we did that is that in state law, it says that with the November forecast, if you have a surplus, you start filling up various pots of areas. And once one pot is filled, you can move to the next one and so forth. And so June sales tax was number six. You had the cash flow account of $350 million is the first one. The second pot that had to be filled was to get the reserve to 4.8% of our basically general fund budget, which now is $2.656 billion. So that got filled. Then you have to have the school shift at 90% of the payments the first year, 10% the next. That's okay. So that one was filled. The school property recognition shift, that was completed. And the fifth one was the Minnesota 21st Central Century Fund, that got filled. And so it all went then to number six, which was what we passed last year, which was the June accelerated taxes. And that wound up being about a $350 million shift back. And you're going to, I think, hear from some businesses later how, you know, that made an impact. But so there's two parts to this bill. And the one part is we didn't do all sales taxes. We did sales taxes, but we didn't do, there's three main areas this bill will add to this, and it'll be in the same number six, which means if the November forecast is another positive enough, it would lead down and fill this one in and take care of it. But it has to do with mortgage and deed taxes, cigarette and tobacco taxes, and liquor taxes. And the total amount right now for those are about $74.2 million. We don't have to count that in a target because it only occurs if the surplus meets, you know, the qualifications. So that's one part of the bill. Would just kind of be continuing to finish the work that we did last year with the June accelerated. The second one, the second part deals with other types of shifts. And I need to find my sheet of paper here. But basically, there are a number of shifts. There's like 17 aids that go out. And you know, like local government aid, county program aid, agricultural market value, homestead credit, PILT payments. There's like 17 of those that right now go out on like July 20th and then December 22nd or 26th. It's kind of in July and December. The July payment on all of those 17 different aids and areas would be moved to March 15th. So instead of, again, remember the budget year starts July 1st, instead of being in the next budget year, it would bring it back March 15th. That cost is $516.9 million, basically all a one-time cost. That would have to count in a target if we were to do something like that. So what would be the benefits? And let's just use local government aid, for example. Back when local government aid was started, it actually, they were quarterly payments. I think March, July, September, December. Then ultimately got switched to twice a year, which right now those payments are, I think, July 20th and December 26th are the two payment dates now for a local government aid. So that's a big revenue source for cities. And the other big revenue source for cities is when the counties distribute the property taxes that went out. And that has to basically come out within 30 days of May 20th and within 10 days of November 15th. So basically cities, and I'm just using that because LGA is the biggest payment out of here. Basically cities get paid twice a year with their revenues, June and July, and then November, December. So there's like about a 5 to 6 month gap between payments. And all of you city officials know what you have to do to make cash flow work is you've got to at least in your reserves leave about a half a year of budget or more. Otherwise, your reserve goes down in your deficit spending. And so this would help cities now kind of get back to maybe a little closer to the quarterly payments. It'd be March. You would have the June tax payments in November. You wouldn't have this large gap. I'm thinking it would take pressure off of cities, maybe having to raise levies as high as they do because they don't have to have quite as much in reserve. But it just would help for planning and all of those things. So members, that's the bill kind of in two parts. The one is finishing off the kind of those excise taxes and the mortgage and deed tax, which is $74 million. That does not count in our target. And the other is kind of looking at all of these aids and credits, 17 of them, that would be shifted basically from a July payment into March. So, Mr. Chair, that's the end of my shifty testimony today.
And it was shifty.
I think there are some testifiers and then take questions.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. I'd like to note that Representative Joachim is now in attendance. And as Chair Marquardt said, we'll now move to public testimony. We have two people up to testify. First, Thomas Bryant, and then after him, Mike Smith. So Thomas Bryant, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Thomas Bryant, and I am the Executive Director of the Minnesota Wholesale Marketers Association, which is a state wholesale tobacco trade group. On behalf of the wholesale members of the association, I'm testifying in support of House File 3827 and want to sincerely appreciate Representative Marquardt for introducing this legislation. In 1997, the accelerated cigarette and tobacco excise tax requirement was first enacted to help offset a state budget, as Representative Marquardt indicated. Because wholesalers would then have to pay May's excise tax liability plus a large percentage of June's estimated tax liability, both in the month of June. The accelerated cigarette and tobacco taxes were then repealed in 2002 and then reenacted in 2004 because of state budget deficits and have remained on the state law books ever since. Now, with the state expecting a $9.25 billion surplus, we urge you to support this legislation. According to the Department of Revenue, $44 million in accelerated cigarette and tobacco taxes were collected last June. So that gives you a sense of the portion that the tobacco wholesalers pay. This is a significant amount of money for wholesalers, and generally requires them to take out a loan in order to remit the June accelerated taxes because they sell their products to retailers on credit. In short, wholesalers have to pay a tax before it even becomes due, but House File 3827 would reverse this tax policy. Please note that, as Representative Marquardt indicated, the bill would take effect for accelerated excise taxes in June of 2023. This means that there would need to be a surplus in the November forecast in order to start reducing or eliminating the cigarette accelerated excise taxes next year in June of 2023. But with such a large projected surplus, we would ask you to consider repealing the accelerated taxes this year. They are a real financial burden on family-owned wholesale businesses, and we ask for your help in eliminating these taxes. Also, once again, thank you to Representative Marquardt for bringing this issue to the forefront and working to repeal it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Next, we have Mike Smith. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Smith, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, committee members. My name is Mike Smith. I am a third-generation owner of Granite City Jobbing, a family wholesale business located in St. Cloud. House File 3827 is a welcome piece of legislation. It would reduce or repeal the accelerated cigarette and tobacco taxes. I say welcome because as a wholesaler, our business remits cigarette and tobacco taxes to the Department of Revenue every month. However, each June, we have to send in May's cigarette tobacco taxes plus 84.5% of June's estimated excise tax. So we are essentially paying almost double taxes in June because June's liability would otherwise be paid in July. To pay June's excise tax liability early, we have to borrow money from the bank or obtain a line of credit to make this possible. Many of our retail store accounts buy products on credit, so we have an outstanding credit accounts. We have an outstanding accounts receivable, and it's hard to get the funds needed to pay for both May and almost all of June's excise taxes in the month of June. Last June, our company paid $1.7 million in accelerated taxes. I understand that earlier this week, the state has projected a budget surplus of 9.25 this year. When the accelerated excise taxes were first enacted some 25 years ago, the state had a budget deficit and required wholesalers to pay the excise taxes 1 month early to help balance the budget. But now with the historic high surplus, the reason for having the accelerated taxes no longer exists. For these reasons, I support House File Number 3827. I would ask one thing of the committee and Chairman Marquardt, and that is to consider changing the effective date. If passed, the bill would reduce or eliminate the accelerated tax in June of 2023, but not this June. We would hope with the size of the surplus that we could have an effective date, or the effective date could be changed to June of 2022. I thank you for your time and a special note of appreciation to Chairman Marquardt for working to eliminate the need for the accelerated tax. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Are there any questions for Chair Marquardt or the testifiers? Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Marquardt, would passing this bill eliminate the action of accelerated taxes in the future to provide an apparent balanced budget as it has been in the past?
Chair Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Representative Sandell. No, I mean, a future legislature could still go back and make the shift if they wanted to.
Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Marquardt.
Chair Davids.
Well, thank you, Chair Lislegard. It may be to Mr. Klayman in nonpartisan research. Can you go back as to when the first shift was done and who did it?
Mr. Klayman.
Yep, Mr. Chair and Representative Davids. You know, I would have to I would have to go and research that. I have a date in my head, but I'm not sure where I'm getting that from. So I'd want to go back and look at that. I believe it was the 1980s, however.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, Mr. Clayman, what we're saying is I was not the first one to use that vital tool in budget balancing.
I would never say that, Chair Davids.
Thank you, Chair Lislegard.
Can Cynthia Templin maybe expand on that question?
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, according to some research that I've done, I've looked into this, it appears that the June accelerated shift was first enacted for sales taxes in 1981, and it was effective for 1982 sales tax liabilities.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Chair Lislegard and Ms. Templin. I was teaching school at Ellendale Geneva High School at that point, so I wasn't the first, Chair Marquardt.
Okay, any other questions? Seeing no further questions, Chair Marquardt, do you have any final words to your bill?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And, you know, what Mr. Bryant and Mr. Smith brought up are certainly possibilities. I mean, that's been other ways to look at. We could just, pay for that this year. You know, again, it would count in the target because you're not waiting for reserves. So that's certainly a possibility and certainly something to look at. So appreciate that testimony. Otherwise, this is really just another attempt to try to just make the budget stronger so that we're kind of on firm ground. When we get into some budget deficits, it's probably not necessarily a bad thing to use some of these short time shifts. Not necessarily that, but the education one's been used. I remember back in when we had the big deficit in 10 and 11 and so forth, I think those 90-10 school payments were down to 60-40. But we did bounce back, and it did avoid making some maybe cuts in other areas. So, but it's nice if you can get back, because it just, when you're looking at times potentially in the future when you get into recessions or even worse, you do kind of have this reserve and some of these things you can look at. So the more we can get back to the square one, I think the better we're at. So thank you very much, members, for your consideration.
I do see that Chair Davids has a question, and then it looks like Representative Garofalo has one as well. So something spurred something. Chair Davids.
Well, thank you, Chair Lislegard. And I would just like to thank Chair Marquardt for bringing this forward. I think this is a very balanced and reasonable approach, and I hope everyone can support it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, I can wait until you formally dispense with the bill. I have a question for Chairman Marquardt regarding scheduling the committee and stuff like that.
Okay. With that, Chair Marquardt renews his motion for House File 3827 be laid over for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. I will now hand the virtual gavel back over to my friend, Chair Marquardt.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to just make a couple of quick announcements, and then I will go to Representative Garofalo. So next week on Tuesday, we're going to hear the tax expenditure budget report from the Department of Revenue, and then also hear from the Legislative Budget Office on an update on another thing that was in last year's tax bill, the Tax Expenditure Budget Review Commission, that is going to start meeting. We do have four members, two from the minority, two from the majority, all on this tax committee. So we have Representative Gomez, Representative Schultz, Representative Davids, and Representative Hurtaus will be four of those eight members, along with the Commissioner of Revenue. And so that is Tuesday. On Wednesday, Chair Joachim's Property Tax Division will be using that to go over the local option sales tax. And then on Thursday, we'll have some bills also. So Tax Committee will meet Tuesday and Thursday of next week. Property Tax Division will take this time on Wednesday. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there's been some memos going around the House lately about things kind of beginning to open back up. And I'm wondering from your perspective, if you have any guidance on if or when the tax committee will have an opportunity to be, for members to at least have the option of meeting in person with you. Do you have anything you can share with us in terms of the tax committee having in-person meetings again?
Representative Groffel, I don't have an update. I do know, you know, the state office building, I think, is going to be back open March 21st. Staff will come back, and I think it's open to the public at that time. I think everyone's kind of in the same boat. If we could meet in person, that's ideal. But I have not heard anything from leadership as to a date on if and when that might occur.
And Mr. Chairman, do you have, would it be possible for, before the SOB opens up on the 21st, would it be, we actually have members of this committee who've actually never been in an in-person committee before. They've never had that opportunity. So is there any thoughts to maybe us having an in-person committee meeting for just members, even with no members of the public in the room? Is that something you're open to, or is it not really something you have an opinion on?
Representative Garofalo, I'm certainly open to exploring that, and I would need to talk to leadership about that, which I will.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Anything else? Well, very good. Thank you for the good week, members, and have a great weekend. And with that, we are adjourned.